Grade 4 Conference, Lecture 14. This is the sixth part of our discussion of parent work. Let's go back to the parent conference again. You want to be sure that both parents come. And that wasn't such a big effort in the first three grades. But by now, you probably have some broken homes, as they used to say, split marriages, whatever, separations, divorces. Third to fourth grade can be a time when this occurs, going along with the nine-year change of the child. Many things die in that child's life and environs at that time. And then you'll see this come back again in the uppermost grades. So it's good even if there's an estrangement, even if there's bitterness, even if there's hatred between the mother and father, that they are there with you. And you just, you know, you can't take no for an answer. You've just really, really got to be insistent about that, because it's for the child. They both have to be on the same page. And of course, where these breakups occur, you can be pretty certain that at least in about half of them, one parent or the other, usually it's the dad, starts to use the Waldorf school as leverage. That is to say that he will make threats to the mother, that he's not going to support the child in this private school anymore, that it's not a good school, that the child is getting deprived of important things like watching educational TV or whatever comes up. So this can sometimes be a real problem. Or in a more passive-aggressive way, the father may buy a whole home entertainment system where he's living and invite the child over and regale them with entertainment all weekend long, knowing that the mother is just doggedly against this sort of thing. So you may be the only force that's able to bring these parents to agreement on a few things. And if you're meeting with them separately, you're just going to be getting he says, she says nonstop, and it won't serve anyone very well. So I'd urge you to be very strong about that. But let's say you still have mostly amicable marriages and people are together. So there again, you want to let the dad know that, yes, maybe you're not so deeply involved in your child's education right now. Maybe this is still the mom's thing. But things are going to change. And within a couple of years, your child is going to be drawing you in much more strongly, wanting you to be much more present in his or her education. And you're going to find you start to change in relation to it as well. So let them know that and kind of get them ready for it. And when you're showing the child's work, I would say you do a sort of microcosm of what you would be doing in your parent evening. That is to say, show them the work of other children as well, so that you can go in a greatly detailed way over strengths and weaknesses in their own child's work, in the writing, in the compositions they may be writing at this point. We'll talk more about that, in their drawing, form drawing, whatever you choose to show. But go into very concrete demonstrations of how much this work speaks to you, so that they realize you don't need to test the children. You don't need to send them to a learning specialist to know how they're doing, that their work alone speaks volumes. That can be very helpful to parents. And be very frank about things that you are observing. If you feel that obviously there is media at home and the child is being affected by it, what can we do about this? That you feel the child is not getting enough sleep, And sleep issues can come up in grades 3 and 4 because the astral body can be very ornery about going back into the spiritual world at a certain time and wants to hang around in the earthly realm longer. So give parents advice about how they can work with this. Like third grade, fourth grade is another year in which prayer can play a very large role in the child's life, and a religious life can be very important. It need not necessarily be going towards confirmation lessons or bar mitzvah lessons necessarily, or at least towards that experience, but at least in grades 3 and 4, that the child is exposed to religious experience. And then some children will want to remain in that, others not so. But they all benefit from having it in fourth grade. Now, you and the parents may talk about some issues and finally, you know, okay, here's what's actionable. The parents say they're going to cut back on TV during the week and only show it during weekends under certain conditions. Very well, thank you very much. You have promised to work more individually with the child on fractions because she's coming home and complaining that she's not learning it and you're not spending enough time with her. So you're going to do that. Maybe you each talk about different steps that you're going to take. You would not want to end a meeting in fourth grade without there being one or two actions that are going to be taken. Don't just leave it, everything's fine, I have really very little to say, she's as perfect as ever. If you're saying that, you're not seeing something, because children are growing and developing at a very rapid pace right now, not necessarily physically, but certainly on the inner level, and you should be seeing that there are things that you have to change in your teaching and approach to that child, and the parents have to change certain things in the upbringing. All right, so the meeting ends. You know, you have two things you've agreed to do. They have one big thing they've agreed to do. Very well and good. Your next step must be to A, if you have a secretary in the school who even does this kind of thing for you, ask that individual to take a few notes and send the parents a letter, a short memo, confirming what you all agreed upon in the meeting. And they don't have to respond. If they don't respond, that means it's a confirmation that they agree. This is what you said. This is what they're going to do. This is what you're going to do. If you don't have such a person in the school, then maybe you have that in your pocket. You may have a smartphone, and you can very rapidly jot down a few notes in there. And my suggestion is not to turn it into an email, but rather into hard copy. I'm sorry to be so 20th century here, but as I will discuss with you soon, emails are generally not a good way to communicate substantive matters, especially not agreements that you've made and actions that you're going to take. So whatever you need to do, out that goes the next day in the mail to the parents to see it in hard copy. Is this a lot of work? Yes. This is adding to your workload. There's no question about it. But I can tell you from my experience and the experience of hundreds upon hundreds of teachers I have observed that the eye and the ear are very different organs. The ear is much more protective of us. It's much more selective. We leave a meeting remembering only certain things we have heard. And parents generally leave that meeting only hearing the positive things you've said and forgetting anything negative and remembering what you said you would do and forgetting what they said they would do. Anyway, it's very important to have them see it with their eyes, to leave a paper trail. You never know when some little conversation you've had with parents becomes the springboard for a much bigger misunderstanding, and you have no evidence of what you and they actually said. And I don't mean to be treating all these things like a lawyer, but you know what? If you don't work like this, you may end up needing a lawyer. You may be involved in some kind of, if not litigation, at least threat of it, because we're in a world where things are easily misunderstood and where people have a lot on their platter and they're not always hearing everything that's said. They're preoccupied, whatever it is. So please help the parents, help yourself, help your school by having a good file about this. I recommend that from grade one on, but if you've just joined these online conferences in grade four, well, it's never too late to do this, to start this. And in fact, because so much is going on in this grade, it's especially good to have a little bit of a paper trail to guide you back to things that were actually said or not. Now, let me say a little bit more about dads. And I don't know who in the Waldorf movement really speaks much about fathers or cares much about them, which is really a pity. You know, it's not just parents. There are male parents and female parents, and they have a very, very different relationship to their child and a very different relationship to the school. And basically, we could say that the kindergarten years up through the end of fifth grade are the years of the mother, where it's the mother who chooses the school, the mother who supports the school, the mother who is the nurturing force in relationship to the child's school existence. And then that changes in grade six. And suddenly, the curriculum itself becomes more male-oriented. There's a more patriarchal quality. The boys start to awaken, finally. They're always about 7 years behind the girls. And the fathers get more engaged, and the mothers pull back in many regards. So it's really important to recognize this and always be working in this way. But always, you know, to in a way, keep those connections with the fathers. Don't let that falter. Don't let them have an impression of you as somebody who's 10 feet off the earth. And as a male teacher, as somebody who has been a father in the Waldorf school four times, I know well how dads are, and I know well how they speak when they're not in the presence of the teacher. There's a lot of eye rolling. There's a lot of laughter. There's a lot of derision, there's a lot of ridicule. Even a teacher that they perfectly well like and even respect, it's just like a guy thing. You have to do that. So you're already, especially if you're a female teacher, you're already operating at a certain disadvantage there. And you've got to keep proving yourself to the fathers again and again. And I'd say there are, you know, three important points that will help you to inculcate some respect on the part of the fathers. Number one is humor. Always be able to make a joke, and the joke should generally be somewhat deprecatory of yourself or Waldorf education. Show them that you have a sense of humor, that you are not a true believer, a cult member, a fangirl or whatever to Waldorf education, that you can look at it objectively and laugh about certain things as well. One of my goals for the future is an online course in humor about Waldorf education. It's going to be hundreds of hours long, believe me. Secondly, show that you are in the world, though not of it. And the way that you do this is by becoming knowledgeable about sports, so that you can talk about local teams, you can talk about local games, you can show tremendous enthusiasm for this very kind of male world, you know, particularly football during the school year, and then basketball. NFL and NBA, I'm not sure what those letters stand for, but I know they're very important. Get very involved in those two worlds so that even at parent evenings, you can make references to a local game and then relate it to what you're learning in the Waldorf school or in the block or something like that. And then the third, it's sort of really 2B, and this is an interest in business, finance, politics. You know, read the news. Be someone fourth grade on up. You should be reading the newspaper every day, hard copy or virtual or whatever, but know what's going on in the world and be able to make references to that as well, especially in the world of business and finance. This is something I would do with teacher trainees. They'd have 15 minutes to go out, look at newspapers, and come back and tell me who was the head of the Federal Reserve Bank, why do bonds go down when stocks go up, how does low employment relate to the economy and stock market prices, all that sort of thing. You know, become familiar with it, comfortable with it, enthusiastic about it. That will also really help you with the dads. To be continued.